Students at Alexander Hamilton Senior High School in Los Angeles walked out of their classes en masse earlier this month. The public school students weren't playing hooky. They were protesting the layoff notices that their teachers received. About 7,000 LAUSD employees have been sent pink slips in anticipation of major cuts to public education, and the school kids were upset about crucial positions in teaching, counseling, and more being cut. The walkout was sparked by a Facebook post from one of the students in response to the news of a layoff notice for one of their teachers. With the support of teachers and parents, the students took charge and peacefully made their voices heard. There were news reports of students from Manual Arts High School in South LA and Belvedere Middle School in East LA joining Hamilton students in solidarity. LA's public school system faces major cuts as a result of a budget deficit that Governor Jerry Brown is currently attempting to address through extending a tax increase for 5 more years. Brown was hoping for a special election in June for voters to decide on the extension, but has been stymied by the state's Republican minority. My guests are Olivia Natt and Sophie Trauberman. They're both seniors at Alexander Hamilton Senior High in Los Angeles. Welcome to Uprising, Sophie Trauberman and Olivia Natt.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, let's talk about what actually happened earlier this month when students at Hamilton walked out. Before we go into what went into planning it, how many students walked out of their classes? You know, describe the day to our listeners. Sophie?
Sure. So our administrators estimate that 2,500 students participated in our rally earlier this month, and a lot went into getting students out of class and making sure that everyone would be willing to participate and be on their best behavior and be excited for the event that we had planned.
So 2,500 is, you know, that's out of 3,200 students.
That's correct.
That's a majority of the students walked out.
We think that that estimate might be a little bit low just because there were some students who didn't go to class beforehand, even though they were supposed to. But at 9 a.m., there was an outpouring of pretty much every student I saw. The classrooms were closed, and it was just a huge mass of people gathering in the middle of our campus.
How historic was this for Hamilton?
We're a pretty politically active campus. Last year, we had a rally on a much, much, much smaller size to save just one administrator's job. But this was the biggest thing that our school's done and definitely the most well-organized.
So what led up to it? How was it organized? Who motivated this?
Well, on the Friday morning that we found out that 22 teachers and administrators had received pink slips. This is Friday, March 7th, mm-hmm. It must have been. And a friend who's in our top jazz ensemble called me and said, "I can't believe this. Our teacher just got a pink slip. I don't really understand what's going on." And my gut reaction was, we can't just sit here and let this happen. And it has to come from our student population. And I went on Facebook before I went to school that morning, and I made an event page. And by the end of the day, there were probably close to 1,000 people invited. And throughout the day, we just started finding people who were motivated to organize and to get our student body as informed as possible, because it was a very confusing day. There was a lot going on our campus, and nobody really had the full extent of the information that we felt we needed to know in order to move forward. And so that was the main goal. And so we planned over the weekend to have a formal meeting on Monday, in which over 600 students came to our auditorium, and we just had a forum and discussed what was actually going on. And we're very blessed that we had administrators that were willing to bend the rules a little bit just to help us see their perspective and to become as knowledgeable as possible, because even though there's a small minority of us who are organizing this, it has to come from our whole student body, and we wanted everyone to be able to be knowledgeable about what's going on.
So you had a meeting of 600 in the auditorium, and then it was the following Friday that the walkout happened?
It was, Olivia? Yes. We found out on Friday that our teachers had been riffed, reduction in force, and there were probably a core group of about 10 to 15 students that weekend who really mobilized quite quickly. We had the 600-student meeting on Monday, and then that Friday we organized the walkout. And the walkout was originally planned to be LAUSD-wide because, of course, we're just one school and we really wanted other schools to get involved so that we could really kind of, you know, raise attention to this issue. But we didn't get a lot of support because, for the most part, you know, when you hear from another school that some kids are going to be walking out, kids estimated that it was going to be around 100 and they didn't want to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. But it was obviously a lot bigger than that.
So 7,000 LAUSD employees, of course, most teachers, most of them teachers, got pink slips. I understand that there were some students from Manual Arts High School in South LA and Belvedere Middle School in East LA that also joined you in Hamilton?
We didn't have contact with them. They acted mm-hmm. independently, but mm-hmm. they did act on the same day as us. That's correct.
So what was the day like then? So thousands of you were out there. Where did you gather? How did you express yourself, Sophie? Well,
we were very lucky to have a lot of parent support. And Olivia and I actually crashed a parent meeting that had happened the night before and kind of took over it in order to make sure that they were all informed about what was going on.
Smart.
And we invited them to come and participate. And so as well as the however many students that came out, we had about at least 300 parents that were in attendance as well.
And so, well as alumni and right. people from the surrounding neighborhood. We had a lot of other people there who were not just students. Hmm.
So we asked them to help us make sure that all of the students stayed on campus. It was a very big issue that our administration had expressed that they were afraid that truancy would occur. And I think that there was only one issue with a student leaving the rally to just walk off of our
campus. One out of 2,500.
Right. So everyone was really motivated to be there. And we wanted to, our AP government teacher said that it would be a great idea if we had the students walk around the perimeter of the school in order to get a visual of how many of us there were. And we were actually able to fit our entire campus around the perimeter of our school, which is an entire city block. And so we did that, and we invited about 10 speakers to express what's going on in a logistical way and then in an emotional way. And we finished with a very strong poem that one of our very talented students shared.
And I understand there were marching bands that were helping keep people's emotions up.
Yeah. Well, we circled the school 2 to 3 times. I'm not really sure I was standing around with a bullhorn kind of corralling people. And the marching band led us the entire way. And then we convened in front of the auditorium in kind of the biggest grass space we have, where we had a sound system set up and there were media crews there. And the marching band played intermittently, and that was really the high point because that was where we were really worried that people could get rowdy, but it was such an impressive display of self-control, and every single student who was out there was so supportive and so interested in getting our voices heard in the proper way.
So how are these cuts, if they do go through and the pink slips do translate into actual layoffs, how will they affect you? Sophie, you mentioned one of your music teachers. You know, how many, and there's a number of them, in a number of teachers in your school alone. What does that mean? Classes will just be cut?
Well, I'll answer that. Basically, LAUSD is in a huge amount of debt, and they're looking to lose another around $500 million, which would put LAUSD budget cuts from the state at $2 billion in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge loss of funding very quickly.
And this is related to Governor Jerry Brown's effort to yes. try to get a state budget passed
exactly.
and have the special election in June.
Exactly. And unfortunately, in the past few days, we've learned that Jerry Brown is ending talks with Republicans because he can't get them to vote for tax extensions on the ballot. And so the point of our rally really was we thought that there had been a complete deficit of media coverage over how such a very small thing like extending 0.25% of the tax extensions from last year. Sorry, that's not clear. 5 years ago, we voted to extend to increase taxes by 0.25% personal income taxes, and this would simply continue that 0.25% income tax. It wouldn't raise taxes, so we felt that that was a very small issue that could really save a lot of public education, which is incredibly important to both of us because that's how we've been raised and educated, and so we were really frustrated that so few people really knew that they could do something so small that would save so many people's jobs.
And one of the main points of the week that we spent organizing our student body was that we wanted to try and find students from the districts where these five Republicans that were kind of willing to maybe work with Jerry Brown were from, and say, this is what's happening in our district, and what if this is going to happen in your district as well? And to try and motivate our student body to contact these Republicans and have other students contact them as well, and parents and people who are voting, and make sure that our voices are heard and we can stand up and say, oh, our public education is important to us. And I think it's just especially shocking, even though we're leaving the public education system for now, because we're both probably going to be at private schools in the fall for college. But to know that we live in a state where we pay so much money for things like taking care of prisoners, and we spend so much and we can't spend any money, we can't save our public education, that just seems a little backwards. And we wanted to make sure that our legislators know that we're not okay with that.
My guests are Sophie Trauberman and Olivia Natt. The two of them are seniors from Alexander Hamilton Senior High, where earlier this month thousands of students walked out protesting layoff notices that were issued to several of their teachers. So I think what you brought up, Sophie, about the trying to pressure the specific people who could actually make a difference is a very important follow-up strategy. What is the broad next step after the walkouts that the two of you helped organize?
Well, I just want to make it clear that we weren't just protesting the layoffs, because mm-hmm. those are one portion of it, but our school would also face very large budget cuts in very important positions. All magnet LAUSD has decided to cope with the possible loss in funding by eliminating the magnet coordinator position. And in my opinion, the magnet system is one of the most democratic and successful systems that public education has ever set up, because it provides an opportunity for kids to get a quality education if their homeschool isn't up to par. And so it would eliminate the coordinator position, and the magnet coordinator does everything. They run those magnets. They mop the floors. They deal with kids' personal issues. They schedule classes. They schedule field trips. It would eliminate them. It would take away funding for a school psychologist and a school nurse. So kids who don't have access to that anywhere else would just sort of they would have no resources. Eliminate a school counselor position, and push the number somewhere to 750 students to one counselor.
Wow.
Which is absolutely absurd, because nothing could get done. It would reduce security staff and possibly increase class sizes. So this was a general kind of protest, because these are essential things in a school system. These are not – you can't cut these. These aren't
the
fat. Exactly. These are non-optional issues.
So how are you going to follow up what you did earlier this month with the walkouts? It's hard to top
right.
that.
So we were kind of stuck at first. We've spent the last week kind of unsure what to do next, because we were thinking that possibly the tax extension would go on the special ballot, and that looks like it's not going to happen now. So at this point, we're looking to make sure that public awareness just stays high, because we don't want to lose the energy that we created last week. And it's very important that the public knows what's going on, and it knows that tax extensions don't mean tax hikes, and tax extensions means that our school system isn't going to be losing $6 billion in our state. And if our state knows that, then they know that this isn't a ridiculous thing to ask.
And how can listeners keep track of the work that you're doing? Is there a Facebook page they can find?
There is. It was previously titled Hamilton High School Walkout, and now in parentheses next, Hamilton High School Walkout is in all capital letters, and in parentheses next to that, it says the next steps. And so you can find that on Facebook. Sophie and I are both administrators, so our contact information is up there if if you need to contact us that way.
And we'll link to that from our website, uprisingradio.org, later today so listeners can get access to that directly. Finally, let me ask the two of you, have you had organizing experience before? How has this experience of organizing these walkouts changed you and shown you the power of, you know, of rallying people together?
Well, I run a region of a religious nonprofit group, and so I have a background in organizing weekend long events and being in charge of around 300 teens for these weekends, but I've never done anything on this scale. But I think we both have the mindset of logistical thinking, and we both have parents who have been involved in organizing in the past, and you know, from the 60s, and so
the children of 60s, yeah, well, that explains a lot.
so we're the generation that follows that. Mm. And so we just kind of pooled our resources and thought about all of the things that were necessary to go into making this event successful and making it happen. And I mean, it did. It went a lot. It went excellent.
Olivia?
I am not in charge of a large religious organization, but I do run some clubs at school. I am one of the captains of our varsity soccer team there. And I stepped into a leadership position here, and I, for some reason, thought I wasn't very good at public speaking before this, but I don't think I'd ever had such a large forum, and I knew I wanted to be involved in social activism later in my life. I plan on going probably into Teach for America after college, but this really just showed me the power of what you can do if you kind of, you know, get rid of any embarrassment of being a 17-year-old and the fear that people aren't going to listen to you, and you just really, age doesn't matter, and if you just step into a leadership position, anyone is capable of doing it.
And I think that's a really important point that we wanted to make now. It's a point that always needs to be made, that it doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter the impressions that people may have, the preconceived notions of you. But that if you're an intelligent person and you are well-spoken and you know what you're talking about, then you can go far in life and you can make things happen.
Well, the two of you are certainly excellent testaments to the public education system. I want to thank you both very much for joining us today. Olivia Natt, Sophie Trauberman, seniors at Hamilton High. Best of luck to you in the future.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having us.
And we will link to their website, which is on facebook.com, from our website, uprisingradio.org, later today.